You are Locked On MLB. Your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans, and welcome to the Locked On MLB playoff preview here. I am your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. As you can tell from my little graphic, for those of you who listen to us on YouTube, you can always call me Sully and follow me at Sully Baseball. I have a guest host today who is a friend of the podcast and is going to be my co-pilot today. What's your name? Sign in, please.
Hey, what's up, Sully? It's Jeff from Locked On Reds. Jeff Carr, in case you want to know my last name. Man, we got a lot to talk about, don't we?
We got so much to talk about. It was a fantastic final game of the season. But you know what? I'll cover my thoughts about the end of the season, everything. For those of you who subscribe to Locked On, that'll be the show for tomorrow. This is the playoff preview. And what do we have going on today? We have ourselves a bunch of the Locked On hosts whose teams are going to the postseason are going to be joining us for the preview. You and I are going to talk a little bit about the day, and we are going to discuss what is the poll we're going to be discussing.
We got the power poll. Sully, we're going to look at the power rankings for all of the playoff teams. Looking forward to that, because I know we are going to disagree with most of these rankings.
Yeah, we've already taken a peek at it, and I'm always like, nope. Very emotional final day of the season. By the way, you can follow Locked On MLB on Twitter, Locked On MLB Pods. Same handle for Instagram. I'm your pal, Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter. Jeff Carr is at Jeff F Carr. Three Fs. Because two Fs were not enough. No. Hey, Jeff, just tell me your thoughts a little bit on the crazy finale. We didn't get the chaos that we were hoping of multiple tie games and tie-breaking games that we could have had, but it was still a thrilling finale.
Well, you know, Sully, it was nice to see Nick Castellanos get to 100 RBIs and see Joy. Oh, wait, never mind. Sorry. The Reds aren't in the playoffs. Dadgummit. Anyway, yeah, as far as the drama goes when it comes to the American League, I really thought there was going to be a little bit more. We might at least get one tiebreaker game type scenario, but just everything seemed to fall into place there late in all of those games, because for a moment there, it looked like the Nationals with, is it Joe Adone?
Whoever it was, he had thrown
a beautiful pitch. Yeah,
exactly as many games in the major leagues as I had, and he came in and stymied the Reds. Well, think about it, like the Red Sox and Yankees both won in their final at bats. Yep. And the in terms of those two teams, you got to give credit to, yes, I know Judge got the walk off hit, but you got to give credit to the parade of Yankee pitchers who kept the Rays off the board, especially a day after they blew them out on Saturday, that there was a bunch of times the Yankees looked like they were on the ropes, and they kept the Rays off the board. And so you got to give the Yankees bullpen tons of credit, and Tyone tons of credit with his bad ankle for pitching into the third or fourth inning. He did what you needed to do. And as for the Red Sox, the credit has to go to Rafi Devers, who came up big with the two home runs, the home run in the ninth inning to put the Red Sox ahead for good, and also to Verdugo for hitting the game-tying double. And things look dire for the Red Sox, who were down 5-1 and looked dead from the neck up. And as great as the Nats' young rookie pitcher was, the Nats' bullpen did what they do best, and that is hand over leads. In the second straight game, they handed a lead to the Red Sox late. And so, you know, the two franchises that everybody hates, the Red Sox and the Yankees, at least be happy, fans, that one of them will be eliminated at the wild card game. So there you have that. And they're both going to be sacrificial lambs to the Tampa Bay Rays, who are just heads and shoulders better than everybody else in the American League right now.
Right. It's like, congratulations, you just made it into the playoffs and you happen to win our one game wild card. Tell them what they won, Sully. They're going to face the toughest team in the American League and they're going to lose. I don't see anybody beating the Rays, at least before the championship series, gets going. But I tell you what, speaking of the Red Sox and all that different stuff, let's talk about that power poll, because we've been talking about this whole rankings thing and how we disagree with it. Coming up here, look at this. Red Sox dead last. So, by the way, fans in Boston, I don't think you're feeling super well about that. But when you look...
I'll just say, as a native New Englander, I kind of agree with that. Of all the playoff teams, I mean, the one thing the Red Sox have going for them a little bit is the fact that their bats may have woken up, but they can't rely on facing the Nationals bullpen. So, right. I mean, that's what helped them sweep that series. But I actually agree with the Red Sox being, of the 10 postseason teams, being the weakest team. I don't trust their pitching. Let's just, by the way, let's bring the poll back up for audio listeners. Some of us are not in the YouTube world. And please follow us on YouTube at Lockdown MLB. That's our handle. But let's take a quick look at that poll again, because you have the Red Sox at number 10. We'll do this David Letterman style. At number 10, if we could see the poll again, the power ranking. I confess I don't have it memorized at this point. Okay, we'll do this David Letterman style. Number 10, we have the Red Sox, who will be facing the Yankees, of course, in the wild card game. At number 9, we have the Atlanta Braves, who have the lowest win total of any of the teams. Boy, they are happy of geography that they're guaranteed a spot in the division series, but the 106 win Dodgers are not. Thank you, geography. Number 8, the Yankees. I think that's a little, what do you think about the Yankees being that low?
I think that's a little bit of a disrespect. I think a lot of it has to do with what the bullpens look like for the last couple of months. It's just kind of been a hodgepodge that they've kind of cobbled together and limped into the wild card. But I still think that they are better than at least the next team that's above them. You can make an argument for that sixth team as well.
And number 7, the St. Louis Cardinals, who Jeff and I were talking off screen about the fact that they completely torpedoed the drama of the National League wild card by channeling the 2007 Rockies and going on that winning streak. The Cardinals, I mean, look, they play incredibly well down the stretch. If they're going to face Max Scherzer in a one-game playoff,
right?
It's fine. 7, 8, who cares? Number 6, you have the Chicago White Sox. I think that's pretty accurate. I think the White Sox benefited from playing in a division where several teams were tanking. And also, they played very well against bad teams and not so great against really good teams. That being said, if Carlos Rodon is pitching well, along with Giolito and along with Lance Lynn, they've got decent pitching, and they can hit. So... they may do well. Number 5, we have the Milwaukee Brewers. Tell me your thoughts on the Milwaukee Brewers.
The Milwaukee Brewers, for me, if you were to ask me about the most talented team in the league, I don't think I'd pick them, but I definitely think they are the most deepest when it comes to their pitching staff. Like, even their long guys, if they've got a situation where Woodruff or Burns maybe gets into trouble early in the game, and Craig Counsell, who, by the way, is one of the better managers in Major League Baseball, believes that it's time to get them out of the game, they can rely on Eric Lauer or Brent Suter to really give them a couple of solid innings. I don't care how big the situation is. Those guys can pitch. So when I think about the Brewers, they have the exact recipe for what you need. They got a couple of really good hitters. Their lineup isn't really that scary, but the pitching is just absolutely phenomenal.
I think it's ridiculous they're this low. I think it's insane they're this low. I think Eric Lauer and Aaron Ashby would be the number 2 and 3 starters for the Red Sox. Yeah. And they're coming out of the bullpen for the Brewers. And I think their lineup is good enough to score 2 or 3 runs a game, which I think is enough to win. Mm-hmm. I think the fact that they are not top 2 or 3 is insane. We go to number 4, which is Houston Astros, who I think are too high. This is not a knock. I know Astros Twitter hates me, but I think the Astros did a nice job, and I think the fact that they're matched with the White Sox is very, very favorable. It's a great matchup for the Astros. I think they match up wonderfully with the White Sox and will probably win that series. They'll probably find themselves in the ALCS, but I would be stunned if they made it to the World Series.
Yeah, if it, if they play Rodon early and they get up on him early, they could win that series. Maybe not in a sweep, but I mean, that would be a very quick series for Houston.
But number three is the team with the best record in baseball. They still no respect San Francisco Giants. Do you know what? I guarantee you there's still people saying, do you know what? I think eventually the Dodgers will catch up with the Giants. I mean, at what point? How many games? Think of all the great Giant teams from the era of Carl Hubble, Bill Terry, Willie Mays, Willie McCovey, Jack Clark, Will Clark, Barry Bonds, Tim Lincecum. All those teams couldn't win 107 ball games. This team right. could. Holy
this team
Toledo.
That was supposed to win like 77, in spring training.
I thought the Giants were going to be a contender. I thought the Giants were going to be we're going to contend for the second wild card spot. Okay, I respect him that point, and it didn't stun me that they became a playoff contender. But who saw this?
No, I mean I'm with you. I looked at them in preseason. I thought, ooh, scrappy team, going to be fun to watch. They could sneak up on some people. They didn't sneak up on anybody. They blew everybody's doors off. This was phenomenal.
Yeah, phenomenal. I mean, think about the, you know, anyway, I mean, look at the, I understand not picking him to win at all. I'm not picking him to win at all. At some point you got to say, what do we have to do to earn one of the top three spots or the top two spots? Number two, when we're going to be talking to Ulysses Sombrano later, Tampa Bay Rays. I think you and I are in agreement. They are just the best team in the American League. It's the Rays and everybody else.
I don't know. I mean, you've got to have some crazy things happen in multiple games for anyone else in the American League to sneak up and beat these guys. I think the Rays are my easy pick to go to the World Series out of the American League.
And there have been years, now to be fair, there have been years when a team is the heads and shoulders favorite and another team matches up with them. You know, I mean, obviously there's a bunch of the Atlanta Braves teams during the Bobby Cox years where a Marlins or a Padres just happened to match up with their pitching. But and I think the biggest upset I ever saw was San Francisco upsetting the Philadelphia Phillies in 2010, and then the Cardinals doing the same thing to them in 2011, because those Phillies teams should have rampaged to the World Series. So while it is possible, I don't see a 2010 Giants or waiting in the wings there. Maybe the Astros or the White Sox could get hot. I don't think there's a prayer it's going to be the Red Sox or Yankees, quite frankly. But I would be stunned if the Rays didn't go back to the World Series.
I completely agree with you. And then that leaves us our top team on the power poll. And I think both of us probably, if you're looking at equal situations, I think we both agree that talent-wise, this is probably the best team there, but they just aren't in the same spot as the Rays and the Giants. But the Dodgers, because that's the only team we haven't talked about yet, are the number one team on this power poll. Sully, I think that this is way too high for a team that, yes, I understand Max Scherzer is going to pitch this wild card game, and he is an amazing pitcher, and he was born for this type of scenario. But you're still talking about a couple of really crazy swings, and the Cardinals could upset the number one team in the power poll.
Well, I think the thing that could go against the Dodgers is the fact that if you put an Adam Wainwright on the mound, a guy who's been there and done that and does not care, and the Cardinals have nothing to lose. If they lose the wild card game 23-0, no one would say a bad word to them. If the Dodgers lose, then you're seeing the single greatest defense of a World Series championship since the days of Connie Mack turn into a one and done. The pressure on the Dodgers is intense, and the pressure on the Cardinals is non-existent. So I do think LA is going to win, but then it's a one game. You're predicting one effing game. And I said effing because I do not want an explicit rating on this. But any team can beat anyone in one game, especially a team like the Cardinals who are on fire. And then we're going to be playing super loose. So, it's insane that the Dodgers and Giants cannot play in the National League Championship Series against each other. That is absolutely bonkers. And but that's a topic for another podcast. I think putting the Dodgers at the top spot, I understand that the defending World Series champions just won 106 ball games. It's not like they're, it's not like they put the Padres on top, but I do think that the Brewers are way too low. That the team, that team, Milwaukee, I think will beat Atlanta. And I think whichever team gets out of the division series, either whether it's the Giants, Dodgers, or Cardinals, I think the Brewers are going to be better than them in the best of seven series. So I think the Dodgers are too high. I think the Astros are too high. I think some of the people who voted in this were too high. And I think the Brewers are too low.
Yeah, I think the Brewers make it to the World Series for the National League. I'm looking at a Brewers-Rays series, and I got the Brewers winning in seven. I love the Milwaukee Brewers in this playoff. The way that they match up with these different teams, I think they pitch better than anybody that they're going to face, and I think that they can hit enough, especially because of the acquisition of Willy Adames, which I think was probably the best trade that anybody made this season.
And if the Rays play the Brewers, it'll be only the second time in the last 100 years that two franchises who have never won the World Series faced off in the World Series. Now, to be fair, Milwaukee does have a World Series title when the Braves won in 1957, but who's counting? But also keep in mind that the Indians would look up and say, oh, great, the Milwaukee has had two teams win a World Series title in their town since we last won. But two franchises that have won their share of World Series since then have been the Red Sox and the Yankees. And Jason Mastrodonato and Stacy Gottsulius, in a matchup of two podcast hosts who need to have their names written phonetically for us all to not stumble on us, Red Sox-Yankees, the matchup, the rematch, the battle in the Back Bay are going to be on the next segment, where we're going to be talking about the wild card game between the two most hated teams in baseball and the matchup that TBS is so happy is happening. Hey, it's your pal Sully. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game. You want to watch another game live. You want to have two games going at the same time like we had all day Sunday. And then you got to stream your favorite shows. Then you're watching the team highlights on your phone. Then you've got your friends log in so you can watch all the good stuff. I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment in one place without the hassle. And it's a great way to finally get your TV together. What's it called? It's called Direct TV Stream. And it brings together your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before. So you can watch all your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. Direct TV means no more juggling remotes, no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part is there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with Direct TV Stream. You can learn more at directtv.com. directtv.com, compatible device required. Content varies by package. Hey, baseball fans. It's Sully with an incredible app for everybody who buys gas that they need to know about. Get Upside. My listeners are making up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas every time they fill up. Just download the free Get Upside app in the App Store or Google Play right now. Use promo code baseball and get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill up. That's up to 50 cents cash back. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using Get Upside. Just download the app for free and use promo code baseball to get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. Some people who drive a lot are making as much as $200 to $300 a month in cash back, and there's no catch. The cash back gets added to your account. You can cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, or any gift card for Amazon or other brands. Just download the free Get Upside app and use promo code baseball to get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. That's code baseball for Get Upside. Get Upside, good for gas.
All right, for our next segment, we are going to preview this amazing AL wild card that honestly just got figured out. We're talking about game 162 is where we had to get to figure out that the Red Sox and the Yankees, yes, everybody's favorite pairing, is going to be playing a one-game winner-take-all situation. Sully and me are joined. Sully and I, how about I take English once in a while, are joined
Locked
by Stacey.
Welcome to Locked On Grammar.
Yeah, Locked On Grammar. Are joined by the host of the Locked On Yankees podcast, Stacey Gatsoulias, and the host of the Locked On Red Sox podcast, co-host Jason Mastrodonato. Guys, first of all, how are you doing? Is your stress level at a million? Are you cool as a cucumber? Where are we at right now?
I'll defer to you, Jason.
I'm just glad I don't have to book travel plans. I thought I was going to have to go to Toronto or maybe go to Seattle. I didn't know what was going to happen this weekend. And then the Red Sox took care of business, because watching them play against the Orioles earlier this week, it did not look good. And we've kind of seen this team play to their competition for so much of the year. And especially the last couple months, it seems like whenever there's a big game, they just fall apart. And the Yankees handled them last weekend and kind of put them into a tailspin. And then the Orioles gave it to them good this week. And you didn't know what was going to happen. So, you know, it was not easy for them to beat the Washington Nationals, which maybe it should have been. This is not a very good team. There's really like one player in this lineup that scares you. And they had a guy making his major league debut who pitched pretty well against them on Sunday. But they found a way to get it done. And it was kind of the way that their whole season went, that it was sloppy. It wasn't perfect. This is a flawed team. This is, in my opinion, not a particularly good baseball team, but they just find a way to win games.
I want to say that there's the turning point of this weekend for the Red Sox, for me at least, was the fact that Juan Soto's sacrifice fly was not a grand slam in center field in that game. I thought the sun was going to rise, the sun was going to set, and Juan Soto was going to hit a grand slam at that particular moment. And I was thinking, it's Giancarlo Stanton all over again, who I think, since we started this, Giancarlo Stanton hit two more homers against the Red Sox since this podcast began. He hit in the weekend against the Yankees Red Sox series. He hit 48 home runs in that weekend against the Red Sox, all of them grand slams. And I thought for sure that Soto's ball was going to go into center field. And I just thought, like, okay, well, it's at least they got a one game against Toronto coming up. And when that stayed in the park, and then let's face it, the Christian Vasquez triple may have been the Christian Vasquez triple and the Verdugo double this afternoon were the two turning points. Yes, I know Devers hit the home run in the ninth, but until those moments, the Red Sox looked dead from the neck up after being shut out by the Orioles, who won about as many games as I did this year. And yeah. And I think those two moments, the Soto sack fly, the Vasquez triple, and then Verdugo's double today, were the turning points for clinching a wild card spot for the Red Sox.
I think so, absolutely. And, you know, Verdugo had just made a huge base running error earlier in the game. And the first five innings of this game, you're looking at it and you're like, okay, let's see. The Red Sox ace didn't show up, you know, basically, I mean, he was just trying to strike everybody out, ran his pitch count up, and then started walking guys, and that was that. The left fielder made a base running mistake. The right fielder injured his ankle running out to right field to play in the fifth inning. And it was like, what are the Red Sox doing? They're just coughing it up all over again. Like, this is what they're doing. And so they need some big hits to bail them out. And that's what they've done all year. They make mistakes. They're not very good at base running. They're terrible at defense. Their pitching's been inconsistent, but their offense is good enough and their hitters have enough experience coming through in those moments in the clutch that they found a way to win games. And, you know, it's funny. Somebody said on Twitter to me that, you know, it's too bad the Yankees don't have a soft tossing lefty who throws 86 that they could throw on Tuesday, because those are the guys that handle the Red Sox lineup. Like Garrett Cole throws 98. Oh, they're fine. Like they've hit Cole a little bit this year, but it's the soft tossing lefties this week that just crushed them, and they had to find a way to come back and win those games.
I'm going to throw over to Stacey for this particular question here. Well, I mean, it's more of a statement on my part. The Yankees faced a huge gauntlet where they had to play the Red Sox, Toronto, and Tampa to finish the season. And they passed with unbelievably flying colors. Even though they lost the series to Tampa, they had the doors blown off the dump in Saturday, and they came back. The bats were dead, but the pitching shut down a team that scored at will just the night before. And I know Tampa had nothing to play for, but they were playing hard. And I give a tremendous amount of credit for the parade of pitchers who came in after Taillon started and to get that critical victory today.
Yeah, it was quite a performance, and a little worried there just because of them using all those guys and then wondering if there was going to be a game 163, what Boone could possibly do for Monday. But thank goodness that's not happening. And of course, you know, everything that Jason was saying about the Red Sox, you could say about the Yankees. I mean, it's basically been the same thing for them the whole season. The defense has been shoddy. The pitching has been questionable. You have guys on the offense that you know can hit, but sometimes they don't. You know, it's been a roller coaster of a season. They play down to their competition. If you have a junky ball thrower, you know, pitcher that throws 86, they can't hit him. I don't remember the exact numbers, but someone was saying that Michael Wacha against everyone else has like a 5.76 ERA, and against the Yankees, it's under 2 because he just was that kind of pitcher against them. And, you know, I actually can't get over how well the pitching staff did today. And it was really one of those moments where it was another one of those, what the hell is the offense waiting for? And then all of a sudden they came alive in the ninth inning, got those two hits. You know, Odor's was a bloop, but Rizzo hit a really hard ball that could have been the game winner, but because it was hit so hard, Tampa was able to throw it in. And, you know, I was wondering if they were going to walk Judge to face Stanton and try and set up the double play there. Because, I mean, you know, if you've been watching the Yankees all year, you know, they've hit into about 8 billion double plays. And as Sully said, the Rays, even though they had nothing to play for, they like torturing the Yankees. So the Yankees did have something big against them and they passed, thank goodness. But yes, it took until the last inning, the bottom of the ninth. And there you go. And that's how they got into the postseason. So.
I just want to say one thing. I think one of the biggest turning point games of the entire year that turned two franchises and maybe a Cy Young contention around was the Yankees' victory against Robbie Ray. That if the Yankees lost that game, Toronto wins that series. The entire complexion of this weekend is different. Robbie Ray wins the Cy Young Award. Today's everything changed in a game where the Cy Young frontrunner had a lead, I think, of the 6th or 7th, and the Yankees came back to win that. And from that moment, the Yankees controlled their own destiny in a way that when we look back at this season, that's going to be, I think, one of the big turning point games for the Yankees, especially if they move forward against Tampa in the division series.
Well, yes.
Okay. I guess that's not a question.
That's my face. I mean, you know, it's like, okay, great. They made the playoffs. And if they win the wild card, oh, they're going to face Tampa. Great. Wonderful. So,
well, what's your pick for the game? I mean, we got the late Chris Sale is pitching probably for, or is it Nathan Eovaldi? One of them is going to be pitching
Eovaldi
for Boston for the first two innings. And I'm guessing Gerrit Cole is getting the start for the Yankees. What do you got?
Gerrit Cole pitches iffy and okay every other start, and he was iffy in his last start. So I'm thinking he's going to be okay on Tuesday. But it's going to, I don't know. I think it's going to be one of those, like, down to the wire, last second, something's going to happen, crazy games that always happen in Fenway. So we'll see.
I can't
make a prediction. I really don't know. It could go either way. It really can. I don't know.
It's one game.
I think so too. Yeah. It's like such a perfectly matched game. I mean, these are perfectly matched teams. They both play terrible defense. They're kind of inconsistent on pitching, but they have some hitters who know how to hit. Mm-hmm. And the Red Sox have hit Cole decently well. The Yankees have hit Eovaldi decently well. I think they're going to go to their, both teams will probably go to the bullpen pretty quickly in this game.
Oh yeah.
And it's a good thing that we don't have the man on second in extra innings rule for the postseason, because I think we could get some fun extra inning games, including this one, that could make it pretty exciting.
Yeah.
All right. Well, guess what? The ratings should be high, and these blood pressure will be even higher for anyone who grew up watching the Red Sox and Yankees. Stacy, and thanks so much for joining the show, and check them out on Locked On Yankees and Locked On Red Sox, and one of them will have the honor of being beaten by the Rays in the division series. So we'll see how that works out.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
All right, it's your pal Sully. We're here at the Locked On MLB Playoff Preview Special. Jeff Carr is here, and we have ourselves a guest, and that is the happiest man of all AL fans in the Locked On Podcast Network. It's Ulysses Zambrano of Locked On Rays. How are you? You must be overwhelmed right now. How are you doing, man?
Oh, this is great. This is great. As Brett Phillips would say, baseball is fun. And it's really fun when you have 100 wins and you are the best team in the AL. I am doing just fine, Sully.
You know, I will see, I'm going to give the Rays a bunch of credit because they didn't have to show up for the Yankees series. They really didn't. They had nothing to play for. And when you clinch as early as they did, they're right to say, hey, we're tuning up. It's not our problem. And yes, they lost the game on Sunday, but it was 1-0 and a walk-off infield hit. I mean, they shut down the Yankees' bats for what, until for 8 1/3 innings, I think it was. And they blew the doors off the dump the first two games. And you can't ask for more than two wins out of three in the Bronx. So it was a great showing for the Rays. It just happened to be just a game shy for Toronto and Seattle. But I think the Rays are going into the postseason just absolutely looking like the class of the American League right now.
Yeah. And the way that they did that Yankee series was phenomenal too, because they had won their division. They had secured the best AL record. They could play like it was spring training. They gave Shane McClanahan the ball for three and then just went bullpen day. Shane Boss, 2 1/3, go bullpen. Today, Michael Wacha with a 5+ ERA, shutting down the Yankees, once again, only allowing one hit. Didn't have more than one hit until the eighth inning. So the way that they have shown up at the Bronx, it really shows the way that they're just, you know, above the competition, at least right now.
Right.
Ulysses, this has been a crazy, awesome season from the Rays' perspective. Just seems like a complete team all the way around. At what point did you look at this and say, you know what, I think this is ours to lose?
I think after May, because they went on a run of like 22-6, something crazy like that, and they won 16 out of their 18 games. They started showing up. Austin Meadows, who really was affected by the 2020 season, he had COVID and started the season late in 2020, he just picked it up completely. And you can see now his final stats, over 100 RBIs, closing in on 30 home runs, just a clutch guy, the most game-winning RBIs for the team, and if not, top five in the AL. So just a lot of contributions up and down the lineup. And I think it was at the trade deadline acquisition when you do the biggest move in Rays franchise history to get the boomstick, to get Nelson Cruz into that lineup. Now, the one thing that had always been the bane of the Rays' existence is, they've got the pitching and defense. Can they actually get some, firepower in that lineup? Well, now we see that if you add some bats to what the Rays can do very well, they can win 100 games in the toughest division in baseball. So that's what happened in May. And then with the trade deadline, you really saw it happening. And you can see that this team is really, really good.
I'm going to bring up a date, and that's the 4th of July, because at that point, the Rays were in a slump at that point. They had been blown out by Toronto 11-1. They lost another game, and then they were in Toronto on the 4th of July, which is just wrong. You should not be playing a game in Canada on the 4th of July, but that's just me. They lost again. The Rays at the time were 4.5 games behind Boston. And we're kind of scuffling at that point. And after that, they went 54-25 and really didn't go on a prolonged slump at any other point after that. And they leapfrogged the Red Sox. And at the beginning of the year, I said that there was no 100-win team in the American League. There was going to be a bunch of teams bunched between 93 and 87 wins. That was my prediction. And that was dead right for the Red Sox, Yankees, Mariners, Blue Jays, White Sox, Astros, and even Oakland. But I did not foresee this, especially if you told me they're going to lose Charlie Morton, they're going to lose Snell, and then Glasnow is going to be injured for a chunk of the season. And to say that that team would be the team that wins 100 games, I think just shows that, I mean, all due respect to some of the other manager of the year candidates, Kevin Cash is the best manager in baseball. This is the best run team in baseball. And quite frankly, the pathway to the World Series for them was cleared with the elimination of Toronto, because I think Toronto is the only team in the American League that could beat the Rays in a best of five series right now.
It starts top down. You're doing it exactly. I mean, it goes from the front office all the way down to the 26 men. And actually, it's not 26 men when you're talking about the Tampa Bay Rays. You're talking about 61 players used in 2021. 18 of those were rookies, 38 pitchers used. I mean, something that is it's unreal. What really we have seen from Kevin Cash and company. So many arms. I mean, a guy who was selling solar panels, Jeff and Sully, and everybody who's listening, a guy who was selling solar panels a year ago is getting important outs for the Rays, and that's Lewis Head. A tremendous story. A sub 250 ERA with a dozen trips from AAA to the major leagues in over 30 innings. I mean, it goes from top to bottom when you're talking about the Rays.
And if I just can use this analogy, and Jeff, I'll throw it back to you for a second, but the analogy I used on the show, and again, I like to keep my movie references current, was in Fantasia when Mickey Mouse in the Sorcerer's Apprentice scene was trying to stop the brooms by chopping them into little bits. And every time he chopped the little bits, each bit became its own broom. And then there were more and there were more.
Right.
And that's the Rays pitching staff. Then once you get rid of one pitcher, three more pop up. And dun, 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 dun. They're carrying the buckets. Dun, 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 dun. And like I looked up, and the Rays, you said they used 18 pitchers. They used 18 pitchers today.
Oh, 18 and rookies. 18 rookies.
18 rookies.
Look at the rotation. Look at the playoff rotation. Shane Boss, Shane McClanahan, Luis Patino. It's unreal that there's so many. Wander Franco, Randy Arozarena. These are rookies that are carrying the race.
They could make trades like dealing a veteran like Adames, dealing a veteran like Castillo, and bringing in other players, because you have a Wander Franco, or you have God knows how many other relievers waiting there. It really makes it for the depth of this team scary. I'll shut up.
They likely traded away a possible NL MVP contender, and they're still the absolute best team in the American League. And Ulysses, this has been awesome. But before we let you go, obviously you're kind of sitting and waiting at this point for the wild card game to happen. Who do you want to play?
If I am looking at who the ace is on the other two teams, Gerrit Cole or Chris Sale, Gerrit Cole has to be used on Tuesday. That just has to happen if you're a Yankee fan. So you would miss out on seeing him twice if you're the Rays. However, Chris Sale can pitch game two and game five in the ALDS. So if I'm trying to miss an ace, it would be, the Yankees. But having said that, the Boston lineup is way more dynamic and more multidimensional than the Yankees lineup is. It's easier to create a pitching mix and a pitching plan against the Yankees than it is with that dynamic Red Sox offense.
The Rays are beating either one in four. Either one.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be an upset. I don't think so.
No, I mean, I think I give just out of respect to the Yankees and the Red Sox, I say it's not going to be a sweep, but
gentlemen, sweep.
Yeah, I think it's going to.
There
I
you
think
go. The, I'll take that.
Yeah. So there you go. Well, look at, hey, Ulysses Sembrano is the host of Locked On Rays, and you do a fantastic job. And man, the path is clear for the Rays to be back to back, to belly American League champions. We're going to be talking about the other division series, which we know what the matchup is. And yes, it's a World Series rematch. White Sox versus Astros. The last time these two faced in a postseason, it was a 2005 World Series. Now they're meeting the division series. Life can be weird. Brett Chauncey and Chris Tannehill from Locked On Astros and Locked On White Sox, respectively, are going to be on that. Ulysses Zambrano, is there any other place we can follow you?
Well, you can follow the podcast at Locked On Rays. You can follow me personally at Sembrano Ulysses. It's going to be a lot of fun for Rays fans who have been with us since the beginning. And for those who are just getting into Locked On Rays, enjoy the ride. We've been to the postseason for these last three times. It only has gotten better. We hope that they can actually hoist that. What is that, Jeff? A piece of metal that they call it somewhere in the MLB executive offices, right?
Series World Trophy?
Something like
no,
that.
No, World Series World Trophy.
Cup.
That's
the World Cup.
That's
the World Cup.
World Cup. Yeah, Stanley Cup. Lord Stanley's Cup.
Lord Stanley's Baseball Cup. All right, there we go. Ulysses Sembrano, good luck. I don't think the Rays are going to need it. Hey, it's your pal Sully, and I'm telling you, I'm having a lot of fun doing this playoff preview, but I'm starting to run out of some energy. So do you know what I'm going to do? I need myself a little boost of energy, and I am going to have myself, I'm going to have a Built Bar. I have a Built Bar, and I really love Built Bars. I had one left. I thought I was all out of them, and I was really sad, but I have a Built Bar, so I'm going to make it to the end of it. And if you haven't had a Built Bar, they're the best-tasting protein bars ever. Now, there's so many great flavors. This is this new great one, which is it's the real cookie dough. None of that fake cookie dough nonsense. This stuff is real. Okay, but they got so many great flavors: coconut, cherry barcia, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies, cream, German chocolate, or my personal favorite, which is raspberry. They're all covered in chocolate. They're all delicious. And if you haven't tried all the flavors, well, guess what? You can get what's called a mix box, where you get two of each of the nine flavors that I just mentioned right there. And they're fantastic. They're delicious. And they're also good for you. Okay, they get 17 to 18 grams of protein, 130 to 180 calories per bar, 4 or 5 grams sugar, 4 or 5 grams net carbs, amazing flavors, all tasty, all healthy. And order today, you get the grasshopper cookie, which is great. Or you can order the raspberry or the real cookie dough, whatever you want. Built Bar is the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team, which I think is pretty cool. So here's our offer to you. Go to built.com and use the promo code LOCK15. You'll get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at built.com. For Built Bars, they're really good.
Our Locked On MLB playoff preview rolls on now with the ALDS that has already been decided. We are talking with the Chicago White Sox and the Houston Astros host, Locked On White Sox and Locked On Astros. We've got with you Chris Tannehill and H-Town Wheelhouse, better known as Brett Chancey, or maybe he's better known as H-Town Wheelhouse.
I was going to say, it's the other way around.
Yeah. True. We get it all flipped one way or the other, but this is going to be a really fun series. I think both teams match up very well in what they do best. First off, I know that you guys have been excited with the way the season is in it for both of you. The White Sox had kind of sewn up everything a little bit earlier than the Astros did, but I think the Astros felt pretty confident in their positioning. So I want to start with you both. I want to ask a question for both of you, and I want to start with Chris. When did you know this was going to happen? What point were you like, all right, the White Sox got this?
I would say, you know, it was a rough ride to get here. I know it's been a formality for most of the season, but the Eloy injury starting the season was certainly a curveball, a monkey wrench thrown into this whole thing. And then Luis Robert's injury, there were times early on in the first month or so where you felt like, ooh, this may not go as planned, but you saw guys start to step up. The first instance being Brian Goodwin, when Rick Hahn picked him up off waivers after Pittsburgh let him go. And his first at bat, he hits a 3-run homer against the Tigers. So you kind of got that feeling then. That was like around May, and you're like, oh, everyone's kind of stepping up here, you know, filling the void of all these massive injuries that they've had. And the train just keeps moving. I've used the analogy all season long. It is like hopping aboard a moving train, you know, and it's, you know, the rising tide raising all boat scenarios here. So it's been a rough ride to get here, and it's been filled with ups and downs along the way, but I think this team knew that they were the class of the division very early on with all the injuries, and it you know, the starting pitching staff has just anchored this whole thing and kept them stable the entire season.
From my point of view, I think pretty much after the trade deadline, they went on a really nice run. That they were not exactly playing powerhouses when they played the Royals and the Cubs and the Twins, but they won a bunch of games. And I think they, at that point, they put a little bit of distance between them and the soon to be Guardians of Cleveland. And one of the things I feel it should be encouraging for White Sox fans for the last couple of weeks is I think they've been playing pretty well, and they've been playing pretty well against Cincinnati. They ended the season on a positive note. I think I would be really worried if they kind of limped into the playoffs on a losing record. I think that they got a couple of good starts from the starters, and most importantly, Rodon looking pretty good in his last start. I think having him in the playoff rotation is going to be a real positive.
Well, we'll see about that. He's going to throw on Tuesday, and if you guys haven't been paying attention, you know, Rodon, the box score will indicate that, oh yeah, it was a nice clean outing for Rodon, but the velocity was down more than just a tick. He was topping out 93 was the highest he hit on, and he was sitting around 90, 91. Now, he did sort of have a different game plan out there in his last outing where he was showcasing more of the changeup to keep these hitters off balance, but real seldom usage of the slider, which is his big out pitch, and he did not use that almost at all. I think maybe six times against the Reds lineup. So they're very concerned about him actually heading into the postseason, and I think you're in a situation here where he's going to have about a couple weeks here, almost 2 weeks from the last outing until he's scheduled to throw. Let's say they throw him in a game four if they're fortunate enough to make it to that point. If he throws in a game four, I think they're very much, it's just going to be, all right, how many innings can you go at full bore? Because, you know, he hit a wall around 2 or 3 weeks ago where he's been a different guy, and they've been trying to do this as cautiously and as smart as they could possibly could with resting him and getting him 6 days of rest instead of five every step of the way, and then ailing him for a long period of time. But since he's come back from the IL, he has not looked good. And the results have been okay, but I think everyone's very concerned, and rightfully so. Unless, you know, this is a guy also who's a free agent at the end of the year. He's a Scott Boras client, so there's a lot of layers here going on. And I think Tony La Russa seems to be just done with it all. He's basically looking at this like, all right, just let me know if you're up or down, like a football coach mentality. Let me know if you're up or down, and we'll throw you out there. And he's going to throw on Tuesday bullpen, and they're going to see what he can do. But I would not be surprised if he goes later in the series and they piggyback him with Kopech or Ronaldo Lopez.
Well, one thing, at least visually for the White Sox, that is positive is that the last time they won a playoff series was against the Houston Astros. Now, it was a very different situation. It was a World Series back then. But the Astros are back as the division champs. And H-Town, I must say that I give the Astros a lot of credit for taking on the late charge from Oakland and late charge from Seattle, that they clinched before making it more interesting. They got they won the games they needed to win so they can line things up, that this weekend with Oakland became a formality. I think they even used Greinke out of the bullpen to sort of give him a tune-up. Tell me where you think the state of this team is, which has had wild streaks. It's very Yankee. The Yankees have had wild streaks, and the Astros have had wild streaks where they've had winning streaks where they look like, oh my God, the World Series is coming back to Houston. And then there have been times like, oh my God, they are not going to, are they even going to be a playoff team? So tell me the state of Houston coming in, especially against a team which I think is a pretty good, I think is a favorable matchup for Houston in the division series. Sorry. I'm not trying to trash the White Sox, but I think it is a favorable matchup for the Astros.
No, I think it is. And I know early in the season when we swept the White Sox in at Minute Maid Park, the White Sox were not at full strength. And I think everybody in Houston that just has a pulse and watches games knows that, and knows that at full strength, the White Sox do pose a very potent lineup. They have very good pitching. When their pitchers are on, you have to make sure you barrel the ball. And if you don't, the White Sox are going to shut you down because of the guys they have out in the field. But Lance McCullers Jr. has really taken on the role of ace as he signed a big contract extension this year and has really taken the leadership mantle, because coming into the season, JV goes down with Tommy John. Framber Valdez is on the IL to start the season. The Astros had this crazy hot start the first six games, and then they're kind of hot, and then they go cold, and then they heat back up. And then we lost Bregman for almost 2 months, and we're like, what's going on? And this team has brought up rookies, AAA players, that I would interview them, and the next week they would get called up, and then the next week they would hit grand slams. Jake Myers, Chaz McCormick, these guys. Luis Garcia, who is in the Rookie of the Year talk, who probably won't win it because he's not an offensive player. Let's not kid ourselves. But
he's having
Luis,
a good year. He's having a really good
having,
year. Yeah.
And this kid, when he gets in trouble, I've seen him get into bases loaded jams and get out of it in the next inning, strike out the next two batters. He has got this, we call it the cha-cha slide, motion where he takes like two or three steps. It's like he's on a dance floor when he's pitching. I think it keeps hitters off balance. But you have Kyle Tucker, who unlocked his swing, where at the beginning of the year, every 150 mile an hour ball off the bat was in a glove. He opened up his stance, and he started connecting. And I think, honestly, Kyle Tucker took such a big charge at the end that he deserves some consideration for MVP. Not that he should win it, but that he should get a vote here or there, because of what he's meant to this team. Sully, the bullpen has been our biggest worry all season. Our starters have actually held it down very well. Remember, we lost Verlander the year before, we lost Cole. And then, you know, like I said, we started the IL with Framber. But you've got Framber, you've got McCullers, you've got Urquidy, who's back and healthy. We lost him for a while. And we've got Luis Garcia. And we've got probably Odorizzi in the pen. We've got Grinke in the pen, at least for the ALDS, because he's not going to make a start right now. He's not ready. But I think Grinke in the pen is an interesting, kind of dangerous proposition because he's so masterful. And we have to keep the offense at bay. I think going into the playoffs, watch for Carlos Correa. He just had a big send-off today at Minute Maid Park. There were tears in the fans' eyes. And it was just, you know, Carlos Correa, I think, is going to contribute big time.
So it's interesting. H-Town kind of read my mind a little bit on that one, because I'll ask you that too, Chris. What is your biggest concern coming into this series?
I think the health of the starting pitching staff, and I got back, you know, get back to the Rodon thing, where you remember that outing down there in Houston with Carlos Rodon, where he shut the Astros out for 8 innings, and they ended up losing that game because they weren't playing great baseball, as you said. But he looked, that's the guy whose stuff plays anytime, any place. And all of a sudden that guy is gone. I mean, we speculate that he's not going to return this year. It's a different type of pitcher. And yeah, when you're in the postseason, you open yourself up to variance, and anything can happen in a short series, you know. But I think you look at what was your biggest strength was your number one ace in Rodon, and now that's not going to be a thing. But there's certainly plenty of things, as any baseball fan knows. You look at your team, and you're worried about everything heading into the postseason. But I think when you look at the White Sox, what's the pathway to them losing or getting blown out or just not being competitive? It's usually inconsistent bullpen. You know, the Craig Kimbrel acquisition you guys mentioned, that's been a real shaky going here for pretty much since he got here. Tony La Russa never put him in the closer spot, and we've been talking about that all season long, about how they mismanaged him the entire season. And now you never know what you're going to get from him when they roll him out in the eighth inning. Now, I had speculated that maybe they're going to, when the ninth inning comes, that door opens, Craig Kimbrel's going to be the guy walking out of it. But I'm not so sure now, because they never truly put him in multiple save situations since July. So that's a concern for me. The volatility of the bullpen is always a concern, I think, for any baseball fan. For the Sox specifically, I think that's a big time concern, because you know Liam Hendricks at the back end is going to get the job done. He's been awesome the past month. He hasn't given up any earned runs the past 30 days. So you feel good about that, but it's the bridge getting from that starting pitcher, whoever it's going to be, because Lance Lynn coming off an injury, Giolito, you feel pretty good about, but Rodon, Cease, who's going to bridge those guys with the back end of that bullpen, the big mystery right now.
Make sure you check out Locked On White Sox and Locked On Astros. Subscribe to those podcasts ahead of this series. Real quick, fellas, what do you think? Give me your quick picks for this series.
If you're talking about who's going to win the series, I think the Astros win this in 4 games. I think we win 3-1.
Okay. I can't back down now. I picked the White Sox to actually win the World Series. And anyone listens to the show, I'm not White Sox homer guy, but it's what it is. They've withstood all the injuries, and they've managed to stay here, you know, at the point where they're at now. So I'm going to pick the White Sox actually in 4. I think they steal one of the first two. Wow. And this crowd coming back home on the South Side, they cannot wait. They did not get to see their team in the postseason in 2020. So they cannot wait for postseason baseball. And I think it's going to be a fun atmosphere on the South Side.
Jeff, do you have a pick?
I'm thinking that man, it's hard to pick these two teams. I honestly think that the
really
White Sox
do. Yeah. Yeah.
I think that the White Sox do eke it out, H-Town. I don't mean to rain on.
That's okay. Just remember last year with the sub-500 record, nobody picked us to win anything last year. So just remember that, and we're better this year.
H-Town, I want
White Sox to do anything ever. So
H-Town, I want you and Astros Twitter to hear what I'm about to say. I'm picking the Astros in 5. I think it's a tightly knotted series. I think it could go either way, and I think the bullpen is going to be a factor, but I think Grinke is going to be used the way that Bochy used Lincecum in 2012 as kind of a super reliever, and I think that that role worked for Lincecum in 2012, and I think it's going to work for Grinke in 2021. Thanks, H-Town. Thanks, everyone. This is going to be a great, great, and did I mention great series? That's going to be a lot of fun
between
two matched up, evenly matched teams. Thanks, Chris Tannehill of Locked On White Sox. And hey, thanks, Jeff Carr of Locked On Reds for co-piloting this episode with me. There's going to be a part two where we are going to break down the National League playoffs, and that's going to be dropped, well, just right now. It's the next episode on your podcatcher. So, by the way, I want to say thanks for making Locked On MLB your first listen every day. We're free, available on all platforms, and you can follow us at Locked On MLB Pods on Twitter and Instagram. I'm your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. Jeff is at Jeff Carr, Jeff F. Carr, J-E-F-F-F Carr. There's three Fs. Don't ask. He's on Twitter there. Hey, breaking down the AL playoffs and previewing the National League playoffs coming up. This is Locked On MLB for the fourth day of October 2021. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully.